Today we have a special treat of having Timothy Pontius. He's going to bring our word, the sermon today. Jordan is at this moment in, I believe he's in Elgin, Illinois. He was doing Elgin. And he's going to be in DuPage tonight. This is Chicagoland suburbs. And then he'll be in Grand Rapids tomorrow. He's doing some ministry at some churches and conferences out there. He sends his aloha. I think he's actually going to sail Lake Michigan tomorrow, I believe. So exciting. But he's asked Timothy to share with us today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Timothy. Timothy and Ashton, is Ashton in the room, or she's maybe has Moses, baby
she's,
Moses?
She's nap-trapped.
All right, she's nap-trapped.
Nap-trapped, yeah.
Nap-trapped, okay. Nope. So Timothy and Ashton came to us like a year and a half ago?
Actually almost a year. It was
almost
in
okay.
October.
Seems like forever since you've been with
us.
Yeah,
end of October I think we came out for the first time.
But they've been in our small group, and we've just loved having them in our small group. And then Timothy is part of our Blue Water Leaders Academy. Now, I know he looks like the most howly boy you've ever seen. But he's actually more local than I am. I mean, well, I'm from here, but he's from Kohala, Big Island.
Small town, north end of the Big Island.
Not Kohala.
Yeah, yeah.
It is Kohala. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty small. But.
And he can speak pidgin, you know. Like, I can't speak pidgin.
For real kind.
So don't let him fool you. Don't let his reddish tinge fool you there. He's like a real local boy. And we've been so impressed with Timothy and Ashton. We've just loved having them with us. We've just saw from the beginning that he has such a dedicated heart to God. And even though he's youngish,
27,
that's young to me, he is part of a crop of a generation that we are really, as a church, want to get behind. And he's part of this first crop of the Blue Water Leaders Academy. This is an experiment, right? This year, Jordan felt like, I need to do this. He's been saying it for years. And so he grabbed a first crop of, I think, 12, 14 folks, and he just been sowing in some. I know Lucas went travel with him. He's had Melanie and Nicole preach, really trying to pass on as much as we can the leadership values and practice for the next generation. I just really encourage you guys to get behind them. As the intercession team was praying today, we imagined you guys as like little eggs, and you're all chickens. We're all sitting on the chicken, on the eggs, and we're waiting for them to hatch. And today, Timothy is hatching.
Woo!
Awesome.
So, Timothy, you are, tell me how you came to Blue Water.
So, I found out about Blue Water through Jordan's book back in 2017. Somebody gave me his book, Miracle Work, which is awesome. If you haven't read it, please do. It's super cool, super, like, altering the course of my journey with God. And that got me interested in the church, and so I started watching the messages online around like 2019. Some of them like over and over again. Like there was a series on seeking that was super impacting. And so through that period, I thought if I ever moved from Big Island to Oahu, I would really want to be involved here. And I thought of like moving over just to try to, you know, pester Jordan, be like, man, you got to disciple me. I want to learn about this. Like you're on it. And I want to be about it.
And here you're preaching today.
And here I am. So it's kind of,
wow.
In a lot of ways, it's a dream come true. I've gotten to go to some ministry schools over the last few years. But I've always felt like I really want to be connected here. And so it's so awesome and such a privilege for me to not just be involved, but get to speak to you all today.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of as if the Lord maybe heard your prayers, perhaps, like the whispering to your heart.
It's like I asked, and then I received.
So strange. So strange.
Amazing.
Now, you also, like, you are kind of a newlywed.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, we're just a year and a handful of months.
Yep. And you're also, like,
and a new dad.
A new dad.
Yeah, yeah. So we were on a pretty tight time frame. We we started dating in December and then got engaged in February and then got married in May. And
that doesn't mess around. It just gets
and then
right
we got
it.
Pregnant 2 months later. And so we had a baby shortly before our first anniversary. And now he's 4 months in a week. And
he's amazing. He also doesn't mess around. He was at our house the other night for small group.
He's like
standing on the counter. Like he can almost. Like
I was holding his hands, balanced, but he's very strong.
Amazing.
Neck.
Yeah. So. Anyway, we're so happy to have you today,
Thank
Tim.
You.
We're
going
to pray
so
for him. Extend your hand and let's bless him. Lord, this is cool. Thanks for what you have for us through Timothy. Lord, open our ears and help us to get the meat that you have off of this morsel for us, God. And I pray for digestion. I pray that everyone in the room will be able to really take in, metabolize, and be changed because of this word. And I pray that as the word comes through him, that he would feel joy, that he would also experience you afresh. You're awesome, Lord. In Jesus' name, thanks. Amen. All right, take it away.
Amen. Thank you so much. Do unto others as they do unto you. Does that sound familiar? A little bit?
Yeah.
What do you like about that phrase? Is there anything you like about that? Question. Do unto others as they do unto you. Sounds easy? Okay. Is it fair? It's fair, right? Is it fair? It's equitable, right? You bang into my car, I bang into your car, we're even now, right? That's bad. Okay. Do unto others as they do unto you. Oh, okay, that's fair, right? Don't hang out around people that are a mess. Hang out around people that have everything figured out, right? Anyways, that's... Spoiler alert, that's not what Jesus teaches. But I just want to think about that because it's kind of, in a way, it's the opposite of what he's really calling us to. Warm-up question, what hinders us from asking? It's kind of open-ended, but what kind of things hinder us from asking?
Pride.
Pride, wow. Can you elaborate on that? Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So it's embarrassing? Okay. That's a good answer. Anyone else?
I don't know what I need.
You don't know what you need. That could definitely hinder you from asking. Yes?
Self-reliance.
Is that kind of related to pride?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Self-reliance. Yes? Yeah, okay. Focus on the things we don't need help with. Yes, John?
Having to ask a second time.
Oh, persistence is difficult.
Yeah.
Okay.
And disappointment.
Yeah, that's huge, right? If we were all totally honest with ourselves, which a message way back in 2019, one of the messages that really impacted me was one where Jordan was speaking about seeking, and he said the essential skill of seeking is honesty. And that really stuck with me. I listened to that message probably 10 times over because I was like, well, I really need to get this. Honesty and seeking, super related, and I see that kind of coming together. If we're honest with ourselves, we've asked for things that we don't think we received, okay? Maybe there's disappointment might hinder us from asking because we asked and then we didn't get it and we're just kind of tired of it or we're in a stuck place, okay? So Jesus's teaching here really, it deals with a problem that we're not necessarily aware of, solves that problem, and then it leads back to the golden rule, right? Do unto others as we'd have others do unto you. I want to start off with a story, okay? When I was 7 years old, I clogged the toilet. And what followed from that changed the course of my life, okay? This was honestly a very pivotal moment in my life, okay? So I clogged the toilet. I try to flush it. It doesn't go down. I flush it a second time. Starts overflowing. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. It's a mess, right? So I get dressed really quick. I fling open the door. And my sister's there. And she goes and gets my dad. And my dad comes in. And he shuts off the water. Okay, it's not overflowing anymore. But it's an awful mess. It's disgusting. And my dad, though, he takes this as a wonderful opportunity to remove the back off of a toilet. Have any of you ever even seen the inside of the back of a toilet before? Okay. A lot of people, I think, maybe haven't, or at least have no idea how any of that works. But my little 7-year-old brain was just amazed by this mystery box being opened and unveiled. I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. So he takes that as an opportunity to teach me how toilets work. He wasn't upset at me for overflowing it. It was just like, okay, yeah, this happened. Great opportunity. Let's explain how toilets work. And he took me through all the inner workings and where all the different seals are and how if it just continuously runs, you know, well, that's probably because of this seal. And if it leaks here, that's because of that seal. And we just broke it all down. Now, what was really impacting about this in my life was it inspired me to seek. It opened a whole new world of like, whoa, I can, you know, metaphorically take the back off of this toilet and look at it, and I can understand how this works. And that's, you know, directed the course of my work life. That's changed so many things. Because I was given this little seed of faith that like, hey, if you seek, you can find. If you don't take the back off the toilet, and you don't pursue it and try to understand it, even though it's an intimidating mystery at first, then you won't find, okay? And seeking is not always enough. Sometimes we have to ask, and this relates to another short story. I would be doing mechanic jobs with my dad, and we'd be working on a car in the lawn, and we'd, you know, take off some little clip or some spring would go flying or we'd lose a screw and it would be in the grass. If you've ever tried to look for a screw in the grass, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's very difficult. And so we'd search around for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and we're really seeking diligently and we're persevering in it. We're being persistent. And then it'll occur to one of us, we haven't asked. We haven't prayed about this yet. And so then we'll stop, we'll think, well, what were we thinking? We stop, we pray, say, God, we really need to find this little clip, this little screw, whatever. And oftentimes, I want to say like 9 times out of 10, as soon as we're done asking, as soon as we're done praying about this, one of our eyes will just lock right onto it. We're like, there it is. It's crazy. It's like we laugh at ourselves. Why don't we just ask at the beginning? But for whatever reason, we have to seek and seek and seek for 5 or 10 minutes, and then we ask. And then boom, there it is. God likes to be asked. He enjoys it. There's something special about that that relationship with him. So I'm going to read part of, oh, sorry. The next thing on the slides is, says the way that we see God affects what we ask of him. If I perceive God as disinterested in me, distant, you know, yeah, he's Father God, but he doesn't, you know, really care that much about me. This thing that I'm asking is too menial. It's not that important. It's, you know, personal, whatever. All of those things can also hinder us from asking. And I believe Jesus wants us to have a perception of the Father that provokes us to ask and seek and knock because we expect good things from God. We expect that he's generous. So I'm going to read part of our passage in the Pigeon Bible. Okay. So this is Matthew 7:7-11. Okay. Go ask God and you go and get him. Go look and you go and find him. Go knock, and God going to open the door for you. All the guys that go ask, go and get. All the guys that go look for something, go and find them. All the guys that go knock on top the door, God going to open a door for them. If he go ask for a fish, you going to give him one snake or what? Hey, no matter, you guys no good. Still yet, you know how to give good, kind stuffs to your kids. For sure then, your Father in the sky go and give good, kind stuffs to the people that ask him for do something for them. Okay? Now we can read it in New King James. Okay? Right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things, give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, right off the bat, there's something that kind of bothers me a little bit about this passage. Does anything bother anyone about this? We can keep the passage up. Is there anything about the last part of this that just like, wait, what? Like, I'm a new father. I'm personally just a little bit offended because he says, you fathers being evil, right? I mean, when I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm trying to soothe my baby back to sleep and he spits up all over my underwear and down my leg and I can't just set him down and deal with it because then he'll freak out and he'll be that much further from falling asleep. I have to just eat it. Just keep going. Just don't, you know, can't stop. All right. Okay, Moses, you're going to fall asleep. I know it. And then he finally drifts off, and I can carefully lay him down and pray that he stays asleep. I don't feel very evil in those moments. I think like, wow, God, I'm a pretty good guy. But my pride aside, God is a really, really, really good father. As good as the best father is here on earth, God is better.
Amen.
This is an important Jesus teaching, right? We believe Jesus. We believe what he says. Even if our experience, even if our past, even if, you know, whatever in our mind conflicts with this statement that Jesus is making, it's Jesus, right? Jesus knows. He knows the Father better than any of us know the Father. His perception of him is crystal clear. And he is saying, the best father out there, God's better. God is very generous. There's a guy I know who is quite generous. His name's Brian, and I worked for him for a little while doing construction. And there was a point after I wasn't working for him anymore. So Brian, he's also a really good chef. He grew up in Florida, and he smokes brisket like nobody's business. He's excellent at barbecue. And he would often show up to the job site with his smoker, and he'd be smoking the brisket throughout the morning, and we'd all be smelling it. So good. And then at lunchtime, he'd pull it out, he'd have some cold coleslaw, and he'd chop up the brisket, and lunch for his crew would be this amazing brisket meal. Right. So good. And one day, though, I was working for a friend of his, hadn't been working for him for a while, but I happened to be in the same town that he was had a job going. And he calls me up around noon, and he tells me, hey, Tim, get over to this job site. I got brisket for you. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. I'm not working for you. I'm not doing anything for you. And you're calling me over to this place to have this amazing meal. It just blew my mind. It was so delicious. And for the rest of the day, I was just bragging about this guy, Brian, like to anybody, you know, tell my parents, tell friends. It's like, this guy's crazy. Like, who does this? Who is so generous that they'd invite me over to this job site where I have nothing to do with it, and he's giving me this great meal. And at the end of the day, the Lord spoke something to my heart that really convicted me. He said, That the way that you've been talking about Brian this whole afternoon, that's how I want you to feel and speak about me. That explosive, just like, this is nuts. This is not fair. This is not doing unto others what they do to you. This goes beyond. This is radical generosity. And that's the way that the Lord wants us to see him. That's the way that he wants us to experience him. We can put up the next slide. This is the last verse in this passage. And when I first read this, verses 7 through 12, I was kind of like, how does this connect? Like, Jesus says, so in everything, or in another translation, he says, therefore. And so it's like, okay, I can't just separate these two things. This ask, seek, knock, and it'll be done, and God's a good father. Somehow that has to connect to the golden rule, right? I've heard the golden rule so many times growing up, and I never realized the context that it was in, what it's connected to. But I can see now how Jesus is this ninja who's like solving the problem that we don't even realize exists so that we're empowered to do this thing. Because otherwise, if we just had this all by itself and it just said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, it'd be like, okay, that's a great law. That's a really good moral standard, right? We should do that. But what's actually going to empower that? It's like humans can be just this system where you put something good in and you get something good out, but you put something bad in and you get something bad out. If you've ever heard the kind of rhyme on the playground when you're a kid, I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off of me sticks to you. That's the first phrase, right? Do unto others as they do unto you. I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off of me sticks to you. That makes sense. That's fair. That's equitable, whatever, however you say that word, equitable. But that's not what Jesus is going after. When Jesus was on the cross, he didn't say, I'm rubber, you're glue. He said, I'm a sponge. And all the pilikia, all the mess, all the problems that we had, all the hate, all that was thrown at him, and it didn't bounce an inch. It just stopped dead. And Jesus wants us to see that in the Father. He wants us to see that he doesn't just give us what we deserve. He goes way beyond. He is radically generous. So in everything, do unto others, or do to others, what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. The next verse I want to share, which goes together with all this, is a passage from Romans. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is the attitude of the Father. He is radically generous. I want to rewind a little bit. So the main point of all this is the golden rule, right? Do unto others as we want them to do unto us. Before that, he's talking about fathers, right? He's saying, essentially, God gives good gifts. Right. As much as me as an earthly father, I know how to, you know, make sure that my son is eating good and sleeping good and he has a safe place to sleep and all the things that he needs are taken care of. God is way beyond that. Mm-hmm. And the place where asking ties into all this is if we're not asking, if we're not seeking, we are missing opportunities to experience God as generous. If we have a belief in our hearts that like God doesn't care, he's, you know, not a good father, he, you know, these needs that I have are not significant to him, and it hinders us from asking, then that also will hinder us from receiving. And if we're not receiving the generosity of God, then like actively, experientially, we're missing the empowerment to live generously towards other people. You can put up the last slide. When we ask, we receive. It's what Jesus says. When we ask, we receive. And when we receive from God, we live generously towards others. Receiving God's generosity is essential. It's non-negotiable. And what's in my heart, what I desire most is that if anyone here doesn't know God in that way, doesn't experience him as a generous, giving father, that you would go out on a limb and ask. Ask something, and I want to just give a minute here for you to listen to the Lord and let him speak something to your heart. Let him inspire you with that thing that part of you wants to ask, but you just feel hindered, right? You don't know if he cares or if he's really that generous or whatever. Just take a moment here to listen and let the Lord put an ask on your heart. Let him put something on your heart that you can seek. Let him, you know, show you, hey, there's this door that you've been afraid to even knock on, and I want you to go after it. I want you to step out on that limb and ask and seek and knock. So I'm just going to take a minute to let you listen to the Lord.